Hello, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours. It is Saturday, and you get me today. Miss Betsy decided to take a day off, so we swapped this week. So I am your Saturday Office Hours host. If you guys could let me know that you can hear me, that's always a great way to start. Just making sure that I'm nice and loud and that everybody hears me. And if you're ready to be coached, you can go ahead and raise your hand. There's somebody in the Q&A. Let's see. I can hear you. Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. I'm going to close out the chat. If you guys need me, hit the Q&A or just go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get started. All right. Well, I'm not sure what just happened. Hang on. Okay. There we are. Rebecca, you are up. Hello. You want to look for the join audio button in the bottom left of your screen, I think. It's the bottom left.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You found it.
I did.
Is that where it is, bottom left?
For me, I'm on an iPad, so it was top right.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Top right on the iPad. Bottom left on the... It's bottom left on the computer, and I think it's bottom left on the iPhone, too. But
probably.
Yeah, they move. I don't know. I don't know why they all have to be different.
just to be different.
I guess so. So how are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to take my notes.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm taking notes too. What's up?
So, what I want to be coached on is, I think it's a mindset thing. So, and this is what I'm struggling with. I have gained every month between November and February.
Okay.
And I was doing pretty well, a few stalls between there. I joined October 2017. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, I stopped eating wheat because I realized that it made me feel better with mm-hmm. no drama, no issues. And I've tried stopping like sugar and flour and stuff like that before with tons of drama. I'm a little over a month no sugar because I also wanted to see if it made me feel better and there was no drama. Okay. And it's worked, which is why I've kept doing it after the month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's in the past. I've always done those things to lose weight and there's always been drama about it. This time it was from a place of feeling better. Okay. I need to switch my mindset about losing weight, that I'm doing it to feel better, because that seems to be the mindset that is effective for me. Does that make sense?
Maybe. Let me repeat it back to you and see if I get it. Okay. You think that telling yourself this will make me feel better doesn't lend to losing weight, like telling yourself this will make me lose weight will.
Right.
Okay. Do you know the model?
I do know the model.
All right. Let's put these in the model and see where they take us. Okay. Just for fun. Get out my little whiteboard. Okay, so what's the circumstance that we're talking about? Just a diet modification? Diet change?
No, it's just I'm not sticking to my 24-hour plans.
No, it's a thought.
It is a thought, but it's also a fact because I'm in fact not sticking to
my plan. Okay, 100%. Judge Judy and everybody in the world would agree that you never stick to plan.
Not that I never stick to plan, but...
Okay, you just told me you don't stick to plan.
Okay, I don't stick to my plans consistently. Probably about 90%.
Yeah, and then we have to define consistent. So let's just say the 24-hour plan.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So if we put the thought... Give me the thought that you tell yourself, you know, this will make me feel better, or what is that thought that you're saying doesn't work, doesn't lead to losing weight?
Just the doing it coming from a place of weight loss.
Doing what coming from a place of weight loss?
Sticking to my 24-hour plan. I'm guessing.
Creating your 24-hour plan?
No, I create it. I create it every day. I'm on seven. I've created one every single
All right,
day.
So here. I'm confused how this relates back to your losing weight, your thought. If I do this from a weight loss perspective, I'm successful. But if I do this from a feeling better perspective, I'm not successful. How does
No,
that
the opposite. If I do it from a feeling better, I'm successful with no, I'm successfully been off wheat for a year, successfully off sugar for over a month with no drama.
Right.
When I come at things from a, I'm doing this to lose weight, I don't seem to be as successful.
So what's the problem?
I can't seem to change my, I don't know if I'm not changing my thoughts or I'm not changing my behaviors around the sticking to the 24-hour plan to lose weight. I make it every day.
Okay.
Since October camp, I've missed 2 days.
Okay. But, so let's do this then. Let's put it in the result line.
Okay.
Stick to my plan. Okay.
Right.
What actions do you have to take to stick to your plan?
I have to sit in discomfort.
Okay. What else?
I have to not say, well, a little bit won't hurt.
Okay. So you have to,
not negotiate.
No negotiations. Yep. Okay. What else?
Maybe I have to review my plan during the day.
Well, that might help. Yeah.
Because yeah. I make it, then I leave it at home.
Yeah. And you probably have the negotiation. Well, I don't remember what I had for lunch, so I'll just have a cheeseburger. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Review plan?
Review plan.
Do you have to make the plan realistic?
I do, and I...
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. I feel like it is a pretty realistic plan. It okay. is kind of how I eat.
Then why aren't you sticking to it?
I mean, I actually did a TDL on this the other day, and I think it comes down to convenience. It's okay. more convenient to answer the urge right now with everything going on in my life than it is to sit with it.
Is it convenient? That's an interesting word. We might come back to convenient. I'm writing okay. it down. Okay. So we have to stick to plan. You have to sit in discomfort. You don't negotiate. You review your plan periodically. Your plan is realistic. Anything else?
That's all I can think of. If you have anything to add, feel free. Off.
I don't like to be. I think my Facebook is on. Okay. How about you have to commit to the plan?
Oh, that's a good one. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So in order to do these things, how do you have to feel?
Motivated, committed, empowered.
How about prepared?
Prepared.
Okay. Because you do a lot of running around, right? To the hospital, to the work, to the home, to the everything, right?
Yeah. In fact, I have my dinners for the next 2 nights simmering on the stove because I'll be right. at the hospital.
So to feel motivated and prepared, what thought do you have to tell yourself?
If I do this, I'll feel better.
Okay.
Or this will make me feel better. Let's take the if out of that. Because if leaves for leeway.
Okay. And the circumstances is the 24-hour plan. Oops, forgot the H. So here's your model.
I like that we worked it backwards. It's the first time I've ever worked one backwards.
I love working from the result line because a lot of times we know what it is we want to create. We just don't really know. Where's my mouse? We don't really know how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to. Good grief. All right. Now I can see it. So there's your model. I wrote something down here. So if we run back down from the C lineup, we have the 24-hour plan. And the way you write it, this will make me feel better. That makes you motivated and prepared. And when you're motivated and prepared, you're ready to sit with discomfort. You don't negotiate. You make it realistic. You review it. And because you do these things, you stick to plan. So where is the breakdown here in this model? Where are you breaking down?
I am not. Sorry, I took a screenshot of it.
That's okay.
I'm not sitting in discomfort.
Why not?
Because it's easier.
Easier to eat than sit in discomfort?
Easier to answer the urge than to resist it right now.
Is that the truth?
It seems like the truth at the time.
It seems like the truth at the time. That's key. Okay.
Because ultimately
you are uncomfortable in a lot of ways right now.
Yes.
Right? Discomfort is a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's a feeling you can choose or not choose.
Right.
All right. So you can actually choose to feel discomfort in one area of your life, but because you are prepared and motivated and you have all these action steps lined out, you can say, this is taken care of. This is not uncomfortable at all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how you can make that choice? Or you can say, as part of that model, we could even write a model here to say, you know what? I just can't handle discomfort with food. I'm just going to eat. It's all in how you direct your brain and what conversation you allow in your brain.
Right.
Okay. So in your world with your, you know, with everything you've got going on, I would say it's okay to be uncomfortable in this situation, but this other one over here, I've got covered. I'm not spending any of my uncomfortable energy with my food because I know what makes me feel good. And when I feel good, I show up better for these other times when I'm uncomfortable.
Yes. I did pretty good. It does make sense. I did pretty good yesterday. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, I actually sliced my finger with the mandolin.
I did see that. I want to tell you a funny story about that. I saw that picture and my first thing that came to mind is the banjo mandolin. Because I live in Tennessee, right? Bluegrass music abounds. And I thought, she must have really cut. I didn't know she could play the mandolin. I was like, wait, I think that's a kitchen tool too.
On my regular Facebook say the same thing. They're like, wow, she's hardcore. I'm like, I am. Well, I was going to make gluten-free eggplant rollatine.
Mm.
Drove myself to urgent care, got stitched up, and there is a restaurant that makes gluten-free eggplant rollatine, but it's super expensive. But I was like, you know what? That's what was on my plan. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go buy my eggplant rollatine, and I'm still going to have that for dinner.
Good for you.
Instead of just coming home and having like chips and dip or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good. Did you eat to your two?
I did eat to my two.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to save the rest and you have it again for today or tomorrow or whatever. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that? Do you think you can encapsulate your discomfort?
I think so.
I think you can. You're a pretty strong woman. I think you just have to decide that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, I definitely don't want March to be another month of weight gain. I want to start the trend back down again.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I've only gained about 7 pounds, which in the past it would have been everything I've lost plus another 20 with everything going on.
Totally doable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Water and yeah.
That didn't happen. So I'm thrilled about that. So I am counting that as a win.
Definitely.
But I want to put that trend back down.
Yeah. 7 pounds is totally doable. Water and sleep can take care of that, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else was I going to ask you? Yeah, just make sure your plans are realistic, and it sounds like you are, and you're good and prepared. Yeah, like you said, you had those meals ready, right?
Yep.
Okay. What else?
That's it.
Rob, does that help?
It does help. Mm-hmm. I needed to talk it out with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Best I can. I'm trying to think. I had a real specific thought about you that I thought might help. Oh, I know what it was. You have dealt with the situation you're in for quite some time. So you have evidence that you can lose weight during these times.
Yes.
Right? So I would call on that. I would look back on those months that were successful losing weight and say, how did I do that? What was I thinking? How did I react in certain ways? Did I sit with discomfort? What happened, you know, how did I sit with the discomfort? What did I tell myself? I would, because you have lots of good evidence to draw from.
Mm-hmm. I do. Okay.
So that's where I would go to. I'd do some journaling about that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Who is next? Jessica? You're up. Hi, bottom left-hand corner, join audio. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good, good. How
bottom
are you?
Bottom left on the iPhone here, okay.
Bottom left on the iPhone, you found it. I hear you.
Okay, and you can hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry, I'm in the car at my daughter's lacrosse game.
Well, that's cool.
I need some help, advice, about the relationship with my sister.
Okay.
I've been having issues off and on my whole life, but the past 2 years have been especially difficult.
Okay.
For me and actually for my family by choices she's made.
Okay.
And I have found, especially the end of last year for a few months, my sister is a big catalyst for a lot of my overeating and emotional issues, because I have an 11-year-old daughter that I'm raising, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to be mean, but I don't want my daughter being anything like my sister, or,
okay.
and making those decisions, or and putting the things she's put my family through,
mm-hmm.
which I know could be worse. I know many people have gone through much worse, but just for our little family, we've never dealt with issues like we have with okay. my sister. And so I have a lot of anger and frustration with that because of how it hurts my parents. Last year she's made some decisions and she was very deceitful, and I watched it kind of just break my parents in a way. And I saw them shut down, and I just see every time I would visit them, I saw pain in their eyes, and my sister wouldn't come around for months at a time. She never saw how it affected them. And it just, so I have a lot of anger with her. And I also have some frustrations because through all the stuff that's been going on, my parents, my grandparents, my aunt, they'll all tell me things that they feel about it privately. But then when we're all together as family, they act like a whole different person. And I'm sitting there like, I feel like the lone man on the island. Like, wait a minute. You just told me this, this, and this, how you feel about it. And then they're acting completely different. And so it's just really frustrating because everyone feels like they need to walk on eggshells around her because she is the type of person, so she just will always do whatever she wants to do, no matter what the consequences. She never thinks of consequences, even though she's had multiple experiences in her past where she goes around the same path and they always end up in destruction and disappointment. And we're always there to help her, always there to lift her back up. Like, here we go again. Hopefully she's learned. And it's the same repetition over and over. And now, it's frustrating because now she's just brought a child into this world. So it's a little different because everyone feels that they have to keep quiet about things and just, oh, it's fine, it'll be fine. Because, and I know because of the benefit of this new child, they're the innocent and everything. But it's just, I just have so many frustrations because I'm a mother myself and I have a daughter who's growing up, and I don't want her seeing or thinking that, hey, like down the road when she's a teen, she's like, well, I could do this as this, my aunt did, and everyone just welcomed her with open arms and there was no repercussions.
Okay.
It's just so, a lot of,
yeah.
I'm just really pissed off at her, and I'm kind of frustrated because I feel like honesty is best policy, and I feel like I'm the only one doing that, and then I'm getting, you know, some I'm getting anger from my family or my mother saying, oh, well, why can't you just think about this with your sister? Why do you have to be that way? I'm like, wait a minute, you just said something else last week, you know? And it's just what frustrates me, because I don't want to, I'm not going to condone her behavior, because she never acknowledges things she's done that have been hurtful for others. And she has never said the words, I am sorry. She always has some other statement or something to like deflect. She just won't ever apologize for anything. And it's just for me as her sister, I'm super frustrated. And also too, she's hurt my parents so much. Those are my parents too. And I love them, and someone hurt them, and that person was my sister. So I just have so much feelings and frustration.
Yes, you do. You have a lot of thoughts about your sister.
I don't know what to do.
I mean, honestly, everything you told me is a thought. You haven't told me exactly what she did or exactly what she said. Well, what you told me, and you've also told me that she's the catalyst for your overeating.
She is.
Do you know the model?
I do. I'm not very good at it. Okay. But I know of it. I'm just not very
here's
good.
Here's what I want to show you. Okay. And the model is a picture of how a thought creates a result. Okay. And this is what I want you to see. You have a lot of holes in your model. When you say my sister is the catalyst for my overeating, you have a sister. That's the fact. Overeating is the action. All right. So we have a thought and a feeling that happen before the overeat. And the thought, you could pull just about anything you just told me and put it in the thought line.
Okay.
She upsets my parents. She doesn't consider consequences. She never says, I'm sorry. All right. Any one of those could go here in the thought line. The feeling is, you said, angry and frustrated.
Yeah.
When you get angry and frustrated, you overeat. And the result is you blame your overeating on your sister.
Yeah.
You do. You blame your overeating on your sister.
I do, because that's the... I worked through some stuff. I had other issues before, but that's still my main, you know, I got off the phone with her earlier this week. She is screaming at me about something stupid and just like, oh my gosh. And what did I want to do? What is the kitchen? Like, what can I grab? Not thinking, because that's just a habit.
Tell me what the kitchen solves.
Well, nothing. I couldn't find anything because
the kitchen doesn't solve anything.
It didn't, no.
The kitchen doesn't solve your sister. It doesn't solve your parents. It doesn't solve your daughter. It doesn't solve any of this. All right. It's just how you react and you see that. All right. But you have to really take responsibility for the fact that you are overeating because of something you're thinking, not because of something she did or said or didn't do or didn't say. Your sister is going to be who she's going to be. You get to choose whether to be angry with her, whether to accept the fact that she's going to be this way, whether to cut her out of your life. You get all that choice.
Yeah.
You do. You absolutely do.
Yeah.
Your parents also get that choice. And it sounds to me, based on what you've said, that your parents continue to love her unconditionally. And that's their choice. You have to give them space to make their own choice about their relationship with your sister.
Yeah,
the only relationship with your sister you can control is yours. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you get to define how you show up in your relationship with your sister. You can choose total, you know, disconnect. You can choose anger. You can choose unconditional love. You can choose neutrality. You can choose anything.
Yeah.
Okay. But you already know that if you show up with anger and frustration, you're liable to overeat.
Yeah.
And that's on you. That's not on her.
No, it's true. No, that's my reaction to what's going on. I know it's something I have to deal with, and it's on my list to take the mastering relationships course. I haven't done it yet.
Yes.
So once I finish deep dive to overeating. That's on my list. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
But there's just, I have to call because, so basically I just found out that all of a sudden, oh, she's going to get married.
Okay.
To this person. I don't like him.
You don't like her either.
I don't like her either. No, I'm sorry. I feel like I have been shortchanged sometimes by God because my sister is not my friend and that's all I've ever wanted, but I can't.
There's the problem.
I can't.
That's what's at the crux of this. I've been shortchanged because my sister and I don't get along.
Yeah. I feel that way because to be honest, and I feel bad for saying it, if she was some random person who was trying to be my friend, I would not be her friend.
Okay.
She is not a very nice person.
Do you think you have to have a certain relationship with her because she's your sister?
Sometimes I do, mm-hmm. mainly because I feel the pressures from my mother about that. Saying, oh, life is short, she's your sister. I'm like, yeah, well, my sister acts like a freaking bitch almost all the time I see her. Like, she's awful to me and my husband. Every time we see her for no reason, a lot of that has been because my family and my grandmother tells me she's jealous of my life, what I have had.
It doesn't matter. None of that matters. None of that matters. No, I mean, that's your grandmother's thought. That's your mother's thought. Your mother can your mother can have thoughts too. She can say you should like your sister. You get to decide if you're going to like your sister, right? She's just a person in the world. You choose whether or not to have a relationship with and what kind of relationship to have.
Okay. I mean, the only other worry I have is I'm trying to be the best parent I could be for my daughter, who is very impressionable. Mm-hmm. You know, she has seen and heard all the crap that's gone on with my sister lately. And, you know, she's uncomfortable with some of it too on her own feelings of it. And I guess I just don't want to be, I don't want to just, okay, she's my sister and accept her how she is. I don't like what she does. It's just frustrating, I guess, as a parent. I don't want my daughter thinking down the road, she's a teenager in a few years, saying, well, I could do this, this, and this because grandma, grandpa, they totally accepted my aunt, whatever the hell she did, all this stuff she went off and did. And no matter what, you know, I guess I just don't want my daughter seeing that and using as an excuse. Well, auntie did this, this, and this, and no one ever said anything. They always did this and this for her. She still goes and does this and this. Well, I can too. I guess it's a fear of mine. I don't want my daughter.
Two?
My daughter's 11. My son's 2.
Oh, okay. I thought we're worried about a 2-year-old here.
No, my daughter is 11, going to start middle school soon. You know, she's at that funky, awkward age. There's a lot of changes going on, and it loves the emotion, and she sees this.
Are you teaching her? Are you talking to her about it?
I am trying to.
Well, that's...
I am. My husband and I, we do, and I just...
Let me tell you something. Worry is a lack of action. Worry feels really busy. It feels like you're being really productive. It feels like you're full of love. It feels like, if I worry enough, this won't happen. And worry is nothing. Worry is a waste of time. And believe me, from the queen of worriers here, it doesn't solve anything. All it does is create this great, big, huge story in our heads. It's like a mushroom cloud. It just gets bigger and bigger.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
Yes. And it does. It does nothing. What does something is you evaluating the situation and teaching your daughter what you feel like you need to teach her. Okay. And it doesn't have to be acceptance of anybody else in her life or her behavior. Okay. It doesn't have, you know, you said accept my sister. You don't have to accept your sister. You can totally disconnect from your sister. That's your choice. You evaluate how you show up in your relationships and in your life and for your family. You decide who gets priority, who gets your love. You get to decide who gets all of that. And that's why you need to take the Mastering Relationships course. You need to think about your sister, but you need to think about your daughter too. And how is all this worry really helping her? It's not.
No. I would consider disconnecting completely. However, now I have a niece. And I feel like I cannot do that because I will never be able to have a relationship with my niece, now a baby, without that link of my sister.
When
so I would have before.
do you know the feelings wheel? I'm not saying disconnect. I mean, I'm just offered that as an option, okay? And I'm not saying cut her off completely, right? There's a balance that you can find. You can be in the same room with your sister and not give her any emotional energy and love that niece and love your sister without giving her any emotional energy. Yeah, you can do that. I bet you have friends that you've been able to do that with. Or a boss or somebody where you can be in the same room with them and say, yep, that's who they are, you know, and just move on to the next thing.
Okay, that's the boss. It's a good analogy for that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
There are people in your life that you have done that with naturally. You just need to bring that up for your sister if that's what feels good to you, if that's the relationship that you want to have. But again, you get to decide the relationship. Try one on. If it doesn't work for you, try another one on. Try another feeling. You get to gin that up. But anger and frustration is not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to make you angry and frustrated.
Yeah. I guess it's just hard for me because I don't know how to describe it to you, but I just don't want to come off like a hypocrite. I guess, I don't know, it might sound silly, but I was raised with certain morals and beliefs, and my parents really instilled that into us. We grew up in the same house, my sister and I, and she's gone down this other path, and I guess I don't know. I just, so like,
the can you whole control thing how somebody else thinks of you?
No, I can't.
Nope, that's worry again.
Okay. Well, I just really torn on certain things of what I should do.
Yeah, bring the focus. What you should do is bring the focus back to you and how you want to show up in the relationship. Take it off how your mom treats her, what your grandma thinks, you know, all that stuff. It's all about the only thing you can control is you.
Okay.
And how you react and who you blame and whether or not you eat and how you show up.
Okay. Well, then, can I ask you a question, a situation question?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time. So I really need some, what really just made me bite the bullet and just get off my ass and do one of these coaching calls with you, because I just found out my sister wants to marry this guy.
Okay.
And they're having a wedding in like a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a wedding because they've been living together forever. And then she accidentally got pregnant and then kept it a secret from my whole family for like 5 months. And this guy's already had a whole nother family. He's like way older than her. So there's a whole lot of weird stuff. And there's a lot of bad stuff that's happened that my sister's told me about. And they've already called off one wedding. I've been married 14 years to my husband. I just see lots of red flags. He's very controlling, goes through her phone. She lost all her friends. She has no contact with any friends anymore. It's just all these red flags for me. I just don't understand for anyone in a relationship. So she just called me and said, we're going to have like a little tiny ceremony, you know, at the clubhouse with just our family. And that's it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking, okay, pastor, you, him, get married. We stand there, get married, go have barbecue or something. Like just, if it's just our little family and that's it, no guests. And she tells me, I want you to be my maid of honor. I'm like, I told her because I just have my moral compass and what I believe in. I told her, like, I don't really know if that's proper, if I should even do that because I'm really nervous. I wish you would wait and not marry him yet. You're kind of rushing. You haven't even known each other, not even a year and a half, barely, you know, it's just, why rush? You're already living together, already have a baby. Please, why rush? And I mean, your maid of honor should be so happy for you. And I'm not 100% on board with this whole thing. And I guess I just don't want to come across as a fake person or hypocrite and say, I'll be your maid of honor or whatever. And then, and inside, and I'm like, oh, hell no. What am I doing here? Like, why am I standing here? I don't, you know, this is like a situation that I'm not 100% on board with. There's a lot of red flags.
Why do you get to choose?
She asked.
She marries. No. Why do you get to have judgment about who she marries?
Oh, I don't. I don't get any choices of anything.
Why do you get to have a judgment about it?
I guess maybe because she has said many things about my husband in the past, and everyone in my family seems to say something about everything. So it's kind of frustrating.
Here's what you need to do. You either need to decide you love and support your sister enough next to stand up to her, stand up with her, because she's made a choice in her life, or you need to choose that you don't. It's her choice. If you boil it down to, you take all the emotion and all the judgment out of it, she's decided to marry this man. She would like to have you stand with her. Do you love and support her enough to do that, to honor her choice, or do you not? Take everything else out. Because your judgments don't matter. They really don't. It's her choice.
Okay. And then if I did do it and stood next to her, I guess I'd just be on the struggle bus inside, kind of like mixed emotions, all my feelings, I know. But then part of me, the worry, because you know, I've never been a parent before, so part of me, I'm like, my daughter's going to be standing there watching me stand up next to my sister.
Because you love and support her.
Okay. So sometimes she makes it very hard to love her.
So what? Well, but I see, I mean, yes. Okay, I'll give you that thought. I'll let you have that thought.
It makes it hard sometimes.
And I think you do love her, or you wouldn't be so worried and concerned about all of this stuff. I think they're at the core, down deep, down inside. You love her, but you have a lot of judgment about her decisions. She gets to make all of her decisions. And she gets, you know, whether or not they have consequences, whether or not you think they have consequences is really irrelevant.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because she gets to make them, and she gets, eventually, she's going to decide whether or not the decision was the right one.
Okay? I hope so. I guess
you have a judgment about what her right decision is or isn't.
It is, because
your opinion doesn't matter.
I know. It is. It's because I've been on, it's just because every single boyfriend she's had has been awful. It's just like a pattern, and I worry so much. And
there's that worry, again.
I do. I am. I'm the anxiety worrier of the whole family. I always, I feel like I have everyone's stuff on my shoulders. I just worry because there's such a huge pattern with her, and I don't see much difference. And so I'm scared. So, and the only difference is now she has this baby, and
how does all
I just
this worry feel to you? Because you know you're choosing to worry. That's a choice too. That goes in your action line. Worry goes in your action line, and it's a choice.
To be honest, Kathy, I always feel this way about
everything.
Almost everything.
Yeah.
I
want you to listen to. I think it's number 65.
65.
If I'm wrong, somebody in the chat will correct me, I'm sure. It's called the worry bucket.
Didn't you mention? Okay. 65.
I think it's, I know it's called the worry bucket. And it's Corinne coaching me on worry. Amanda says it's the best podcast. I want you to listen to it. And I want you to create an hour every day to do what it says to do in the podcast. You get a whole hour. I gave myself 30 minutes.
Okay.
And it helped me. You get a whole hour.
An hour? Okay.
Right. When you listen to the podcast, you get an hour. Okay. You can take less time if you want, but you get an hour. I'm gifting you an hour.
Yeah.
All right. But I want you to post in the group that you've listened to the podcast. Tell me when you're going to listen to it.
I will try and listen to it today, actually.
Okay. So
This weekend.
All right. So I want to see a post in the group. Tag me that you've listened to the podcast and what your hour is. All right. Because this is where your work is. This and deciding how you're going to, this and the Mastering Relationships course.
Yeah.
Once you get to the point where you're not blaming your sister for all the terrible things that she's causing in the world, and you accept your relationship with her, you decide what it's going to be and you accept your relationship with her, I bet a lot of this goes away.
I hope so. Because I don't think I've ever felt different. I've always been the worrier or the one that everyone unloads their shit to in my family.
And that it's okay for people to talk to you, but you can also say at some point, can we talk about something else? No, because you can't. You don't have to be the person that takes on everyone else's problems. You can be empathetic and still protect yourself from emotional distress. You can be, that's me. I'm you, okay? I'm you about 5 or 6 years ago. think about how I have to, I'm very empathetic. I'm very emotional. Think about how I have to clean all of that out of my brain in order to coach you guys every day. Right? Mm-hmm. I can still be kind and I can still be empathetic without getting off this call and going, oh my God, Ken, this girl, Jessica, I'm so worried about her. I just don't know what I'm going to do, you know, and creating a big mushroom cloud about my worry about you and about Rebecca and about the other five or six girls I'm going to coach today. Okay. I'm able to be empathetic and offer, you know, some coaching to you without internalizing and overeating and worrying and stressing and creating the big mushroom cloud over my head. That's what I want for you. You can get there. I did.
I hope so. That cloud, follows me around everywhere.
I'm telling you, the worry bucket is
okay, so,
magic.
Okay.
It works for me.
I found my son's magnadoodle.
Awesome. I'm told it is episode 65.
Okay, 65. Okay. I have that written down.
All right.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Punky 27. Whoever you are next. Look for the join audio button. You look like you're on your phone. Bottom left screen, bottom left of your screen, maybe. Can't hear you yet. It's green. Say something. No, can't hear you. I think you may have hit it twice. Try again. All right, try now. Oh, yep. I can hear you now.
Okay, good.
Tell me your name.
Alicia.
Alicia.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. This is my first coaching, so I'm a little nervous.
I am easy.
I know. I appreciate you. So I'm a September baby, and okay. I've lost 52 pounds since mid-August.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. You're welcome. Around when I hit the sort of halfway point, like 45 pounds. Like, so the last 2 months I've been losing 2 pounds and gaining a pound, like alternating every other week.
Okay.
Of being on plan for a week and doing great and focused. And then the next week I will have little binges or half day quits, or grab assing or eating my feelings. So I need a different perspective or a different way to shine a light on, I don't want to say refocused because.
I think you're focused.
I'm focused, but I guess I'm allowing little quits or.
Mm-hmm. So why are you?
I think part of me thinks like, okay, gosh, I've gotten a little more than halfway. I have 40 more pounds to go. And I'm just like sitting down for a break.
It's time for a break.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing. And then the following week I'll get remembered of who I want to become and who I am becoming and my goals and my reasons for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to somehow figure out how to quiet that voice or redirect that voice. Or think of a different thought instead of a lot of my thoughts when I would overeat or eat off plan is, well, you don't ever eat that or you're not going to get to eat that very much. And that's a common thought that I keep having. So then another plan that I would make for another day, I would put some of those items on my plan so I feel like I have it and I'm not restricting myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep kind of going back to eat all the M&Ms now, which that's not necessary. And for 45 pounds down, I didn't worry about not getting M&Ms or whatever.
So I like to think of this as a, I don't know, you know, we have weight loss stalls where our body recalibrates. Yes. I think you're having a brain stall. Okay.
That's what it feels like.
Right. It's almost like you've developed all these great habits.
Yes.
And then your brain says, let's take a pause.
Exactly.
And then you have to recalibrate something here and there to get your brain back in the game. And what's so interesting as I listen to you talk is that you have a week where you have all these complacency thoughts, taking your foot off the gas kind of things.
Yes.
Then the next week you're like, okay, that's crap. We're getting back on plan. What if you sped up the process?
That's what I would like to do.
I'm going to give you an assignment. Okay.
Okay.
You're really great at figuring out what the thoughts are that are leading to your overeats. I wrote two of them down. It's time for a break and you're not going to get to eat that.
Yes.
I want you to get out a piece of paper.
Okay.
And on one side of the page, on the left side, write down all those little thoughts. Start with those two and everything you can come up with.
Okay.
And then right next to them on the other side of the page, write an answer to every one of the thoughts.
I like that.
Yes. It's so good. We used to do this as a worksheet. It was called the Excuses Worksheet. And it was old time coaching. Back when I was in coaching, we did this.
Okay.
And I loved that exercise so much that I give it out a lot. But you don't need a worksheet. You just need a piece of paper.
Okay.
So for instance, when you hear your brain say, it's time for a break, how would you answer that?
Sit down and have a break.
Right?
Sit down and have a break, have lemon water, and take a mental break.
Right.
I don't need to eat M&Ms for a mental break.
Exactly. I don't need M&Ms for a mental break. Or what? Yeah. And then you're not going to get to eat that. How would you answer that one?
You can surely have that on your plan tomorrow.
Exactly. So you're speeding up the process between the week of little quits and the week of refocusing. You're actually lining everything up. And I would carry that piece of paper around with you and I'd add to it and I'd read it and I'd look at it and just speed up your process a little bit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. That I felt that in my brain, but I didn't know how to articulate it. It's a brain stall. Thank you, Kathy.
I mean, it's like a brain plateau, right?
Yes. Yes.
You're in the Queen's Club if you've lost.
Yes.
There's probably back around July or August, one of the masterclass that month was a week on taking your foot off the gas or a class, a workshop on taking your foot off the gas.
Okay.
Kind of a complacency, look at complacency. You could go back and listen to that too and see if you can pull out any tidbits for it.
I'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
That was easy. See? Not scary
at
all.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. It was fun. Mary, you're next. All right, and Mary's the last hand, so if anybody else wants to be coached, go ahead and get on in line. All right, you're up. You have your join audio button hit.
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Cool. All right, how are you?
I'm good. What do you want to talk about?
So I've been doing a lot of thought work and a lot of... I start the week with great intentions, and by the end of it,
why?
I don't.
You know, that's my favorite question, Mary Jo. When I very, very first started coaching, Mary Jo was actually a client, and I was subbing for Coach Jane, who some of you guys have met. She doesn't coach anymore, but she's Corinne's very good friend. And Jane went on vacation, and so I was coaching Mary Jo and a few other people. And I kept asking Mary Jo why, and she started calling me Kathy Question. But that's my favorite question because, you know, why? Why are you quitting throughout the week? What's going on there?
So I do good Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because I don't work those days. And then Tuesday I work, and then I'm off on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then I work Thursday and Friday, and then I wake up Saturday morning and I go... What the hell just happened in my week? And so through my TDLs, I've learned that I just don't like saying no to myself.
Okay.
There's a lot of family stuff, like past crap, but I'm really embracing Corinne's idea that it's good to know it, but it's not going to help you move forward.
It really, in the long run, the only thing to acknowledge about that is that you created a habit.
Right.
That's it. Exactly. I mean, what happened in the past, you get to attach a thought to. It was terrible, or yep, that's what happened, you know, and anywhere in between. So yeah.
I've joined in September, and I've done really well being able to do that, where mm-hmm. I wasn't able to do that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 2 pounds up from when I started in September. And it boils down to that I have habits, mm-hmm. and I just have a really hard time saying no to myself.
Like, why? You have a hard time saying no to your kids?
Absolutely no.
Or to your husband? Or to your boss? Or to your friends? You have a hard time saying no to anyone else?
Yeah. I have a hard time saying, I over-volunteer myself for stuff.
Okay.
My husband and I, like, we have a healthy sense of boundaries and no's, and so it's not.
Okay.
I do over-volunteer myself for stuff.
Okay.
I have a hard time saying no in general, I guess, to everyone.
Do you? But do you really? I don't think you do.
I don't know. Sometimes, like if I feel pressured, like if I feel peer pressure, mm-hmm. I have a hard time. Or like if I'm trying to.
So you're a people pleaser.
When I'm trying to make a good impression on people, yeah.
Yeah. Because by volunteering for all these things, you can absolutely affect how someone else feels about you.
No.
No. No. But that's another story. Why do you have trouble saying no to yourself?
Well, I think it's because I was told no a lot in the past. So I always told myself, well, when I'm an adult, da 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 da.
Okay. Or, so you're a little rebellious.
When I'm out of college. Da, 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 mm-hmm. da. And it was always whatever was the next stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a great husband.
You tell yourself, when I'm an adult, I get to choose rather than I get to do blah, 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 blah. Because essentially that's what it is. You get to choose whether you overeat. You get to choose how you show up. You get to choose whether you say yes or no or sit in discomfort or not. It's all a choice. It's all a decision.
I think when I get down that thought train, like that idea, I come to where I am right now, where I'm just very ambivalent. Like, well, obviously I'm choosing this. And then I lose the spark and mm-hmm. I withdraw from my Marco Polo groups or I'm a
hermit.
That's
the negative self-talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the, well, I'm crap, so I don't need to show up for anybody. Especially myself. What if you just decided you weren't crap? What if you just decided, well, today it's Thursday and I'm going to eat on plane?
Yeah.
Because that's my choice. Because I can be the person who I want to be. Because I'm an adult. You see, I'm kind of twisting this around a little bit. I'm taking your rebellion and I'm hoping you'll see that you can use that to stay on plan rather than use it to go off plan.
Yeah.
You can absolutely choose to go face down into a, you know, overeat, or you can choose to say, you know what? I'm just not doing that today. It's not worth it. I don't want to be 2 pounds up from September anymore. Done. The brain, just shut up because I'm not eating.
But how do I stay invigorated with my goals Thursday night after a long day of work, which you spend so much energy keeping like the professional face on, and
mm-hmm.
my goals are like the last thing on my brain.
What's the first thing on your mind?
I want to relax. I want to see my kids. Mm-hmm. That's always fun. And then it's when I go to bed, I sit down. And I start to read,
mm-hmm.
and I want to eat something.
What if you tell yourself, now's not the time to eat? Thank you. Thanks for the suggestion, but I don't think I'm going to eat right now because I'm going to read instead, and I don't want to be 2 pounds up anymore.
How do I remember that? I agree with you.
You practice. You have to practice it. Maybe you put that note on a post-it note on your book.
Yeah.
I'm choosing not to eat right now because I don't want to be 2 pounds up anymore.
Yeah, I could put it on Yeah. Bed frame.
Or on the bed frame, on the snack that you usually go after. Maybe it's a bag of chips, stick a post-it note. Nope, not tonight, because I don't want to be 2 pounds up anymore. Right. Because I'm, you know, because I want to remember my goals.
Because I'm choosing this.
Mm-hmm. I'm choosing to remember my goals right now instead of eat.
I just wish I cared more about what I thought than so.
You do. It's just easy to ignore. No, you do. It's just easy to ignore it.
Yeah. So like I might have to have that surgery. I have that appointment finally coming up. And, you know, watching this silly DVD they sent in the mail. I was like, oh, I wish they would tell me to lose 50 pounds because then I would feel like I have to so I can have the surgery.
It wouldn't matter. You have to tell yourself. You have to tell yourself. Yeah. If they told you, you have to lose 50 pounds, that would go in the C line. You get to choose the thought about it. And you would choose, I believe them, I need to lose 50 pounds. Or you would choose, that's crap, I'm eating what I want. Or somewhere in between.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. It's all about what you're telling yourself, what the conversation in your own head is about. And if you have to put post-it notes all over the house to remind you to be committed to yourself, there's nothing wrong with that.
I thought about doing that, but my in-laws come and watch the kids one day a week.
So?
I care what they think.
So?
It's just...
Why do you care what they think? Don't you think they want you to be committed to yourself?
I don't know what they think.
Does it matter?
It shouldn't. Mm-mm. It does, but it shouldn't.
That's because you're people-pleasing.
Yeah.
You need to remember that you're...
I people please for people I don't like. Do you know how annoying that is?
That's a whole nother call, Mary. We need to talk at camp.
All right. So
I want you to put a bunch of post-it notes all over your house reminding you that you don't want to be 2 pounds up anymore.
I printed...
And that this is a choice. If I eat this, I'm making this a conscious choice. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm choosing to stay 2 pounds up rather than lose weight.
I printed, I don't remember her name, the Power Thoughts that they posted into the Facebook group. I just printed it today. We use some of those for inspiration.
Yeah. It all starts with the conversation in your head. And you can have that conversation when you feel great, when you're off work, when you're on work, when you're tired, when you're not. Just remember when you're tired, the best thing to do is have as many decisions already made so that you don't have an opportunity to choose one that you're going to regret.
That's so right. I come home from work and if I don't have dinner made, I just go. Psh.
Yeah.
And I know that. I've learned that through TV yelling and
right. All that's of my plans. Food prep is your friend, right?
It is. And if I don't do it, it's I'm setting myself up for failure. I don't. So, I have one more question.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was now. It's just so nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you too.
What was my other question?
I want to hear when you come to camp. The camp is only 4 weeks. When you come to camp, I want to hear about all your post-it notes. How many you put out, what color they were, all that kind of stuff. Take pictures for me.
I will.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do about feeling guilty about my Marco Polo group? They are just a wonderful set of women. And then when I'm feeling down or I'm feeling like I'm screwing up, I just don't show up or I do and I don't talk about myself at all. Or they're just quick.
Like, okay. So why do you have a Marco Polo group if you're not going to show up and use them?
Oh, because I love them and I want to support them.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want any support?
No, I do. I just...
Then why don't you ask for it? That's what they're there for. They must love you back, right?
They do.
Right? Yeah. So get in there today. And say, hey guys, I had a coaching call and Kathy made me get in here and tell you what's going on.
I did this morning, actually.
I'm going to need
really
you
quick
to search me out and make me talk to you every day. They can't make you talk to them, but that's what they're there for. And that's why they care about you.
Yeah.
They want you to show up. So show up for them, show up for yourself, with them, for them. Let them, you know, when you don't show up, they miss an opportunity to support you. You're depriving them of an opportunity to support you when you don't show up.
Okay.
There, I just hit the people pleaser, didn't I?
Did.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see who's next. Michelle, you are up. Hi. Do you find your button, your join audio button?
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
How are you?
Hey.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I love seeing Chelsea's painting behind you.
Isn't it pretty?
It's awesome. I love it.
Yes, I do too.
It's like the perfect backdrop, and you look really good today, by the way.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So I feel like you and I have coached on like every stage of my job.
Oh, okay. Like, are you in the new one now?
Not yet. I start a week from Monday. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have a little bit of trauma. So I think it's just kind of the transition. I have one more week left at work and, you know, I've dealt with some mean girls at this job and kind of done some thought work around them. And, those same mean girls, they're like, oh, we'd like to do a breakfast. I'm like, really? Which totally irritated me because every time someone leaves, like we go out and get Mexican and we get drinks and it's like something fun. And so I just already kind of had all these like feelings like, really, I'm not even worth like people taking time. I know, Kathy, you're going to be all.
Oh no, I'm laughing because we might be the same person.
Okay.
I'll tell you a story.
But yeah, it's like, I just was like, I'm not even worth like people taking time out of their outside of work when I've gone to every single dinner. I've planned dinners for people. I've just, you know, I've done it all.
So what do you make?
So it's already, I'm totally making it mean that they don't care about me or that I'm, you know, definitely. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, fine, whatever, breakfast. And, I was waiting cause I had some schedule changes around this new job and date, you know, timelines got a little bit messed up. So when they asked me, I said, well, I need to find out when my last week is actually going to be. So I'll get back to you. So I did after a few days and the person's response was, oh, well, I didn't hear anything from you. So I just assumed it was a no.
Okay.
So now I'm like, and I said, okay, that's fine. I said, well, you know, but my feelings are hurt. So now I went from having a stupid breakfast to you're just not going to do anything for me. Mm-hmm. And I've already heard it from my Hot Mess Express girls, like I shouldn't have expectations. And I know that, but I'm just like, my feelings are hurt. And
okay, let me
so I'm trying to do work on that.
Let me see if I can neutralize this for you. So, you know, I just left my job two months ago. I was a 32-year state employee. Okay.
Yeah.
I should get a big party, right?
Right.
I should get a huge gift.
That's the manual.
I should get a big party. I should even get a legislative resolution read on the House chamber floor because I was this amazing state employee. I had this huge story in my head about everything I should get. Do you want to know what I got?
What?
I got a lunch, which was nice. With a girl who decided she was going to retire on the same day, who almost got fired 5 times while I worked there. If we had a scale of our 16 employees in our office, if I'm number one, she's number 15. I got the same party.
Right.
Okay.
We might be the same people.
I was so angry. I marched myself into the party planner and I said, you wanted to know if I was going to really be at work on January 4th so I could have a party with Teresa? And she was like, are you upset by that? I said, yes, I'm upset by that. Came home, told Ken, and Ken said, Kathy, do you really think you're going to care on January 5th what kind of party you had on January 4th? And I was like, no.
Yeah, I know. And that's
because kind of, I'm going to be gone from there.
Right. And, that, and that's the advice I got too. Like you're exactly moving on and and it doesn't matter. And in reality, you don't like most of these people because they're not nice. Well, so do you really want to spend extra time with them? You know?
And, right. And here's the funny thing. They probably never even considered the fact or thought you would be upset by having a breakfast instead of a lunch.
Oh, I think they did. Well, honestly, I think I do. I know
that's
it is.
That's your thought.
But yes, I think it was one more mean thing.
Well, when I went into that girl's office, she had no idea I would be upset by that. When I had this great, you know, story in my head about how I should be, you know, laid out the gold carpet and, you know, whatever on my way out, they totally had different thoughts about it.
Yeah.
Other than the thoughts that I had. And that's where the disconnect comes in.
Right.
You have a thought, they have a thought, they don't meet. It doesn't really matter in the long run.
It doesn't. Yeah. And I guess somehow I've determined that I'm allowed to think like, I don't really want to spend extra time with them, but they should all want to spend time with me. Like, obviously that's, ridiculous.
Why not? Right.
But yeah. And I don't know. And then, so I did do a bunch of writing about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And got all my like mean girl thoughts out and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think what it boils down to is as excited as I am for my new job and the new chapter, and I'm like thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
It's still scary because it's, you know, I've been with my organization for 15 years and as excited as I am for the next part, it's still a huge transition. And I guess I'm just maybe having a harder time with that than I thought. So
you just said something that was really interesting. If you think about the model, I've talked about the model a lot today.
Yeah.
You put leaving the job in the C line. They're not meeting my manual for my party. You know, they're being mean.
Yeah.
Your feeling is what? Frustrated, angry, hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hurt. What do you do when you're hurt? You disconnect. You get coaching because you don't feel good about it. Right. You end up, you know, talking to your hot mess express about it and bad mouthing the girls or bad mouthing the office, whatever. That results in you being kind of a mean girl too.
It does.
Just said, yes. I had to clean up my mean girl thoughts.
Yeah.
That's not how you want to show up. I know.
No, and it's not. And
so if you just take the classy road and go, I'm going to show all these mean girls what it's like to leave as the classy lady I am.
Yes.
And that's sort of what I did. I just I just decided, poor old Teresa, you know, it doesn't matter. It just didn't matter.
Yeah.
And Ken was exactly right. When I got the home office here and started to work full time, I was just in such a better place. It didn't matter. The party just didn't matter.
Yeah, I think that is. And, you know, and that was kind of where I came to this morning. It was, you know, I have 5 days left. And while there's a lot of people that I could care less about, there are some people that I genuinely really like there. Mm-hmm. And I can choose to show up in a way that I'm going to leave this job that I've dedicated years of my life and extra hours and everything. Right. I can choose to leave proud. And the people that I care about, you know, I can take the time this week to reach out privately and just tell them, like, tell them goodbye and that I will miss a few of them.
Right. You can even keep in touch with them if you want.
Right.
There's a handful of people in my office I keep in touch with. I don't keep in touch with everybody, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I get to choose.
Yeah.
So I probably talked to the guy who replaced me more than anybody else because he's just a super guy and I've known him for, you know, just a couple of months now, but I get to choose.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess me showing up that way, if my thoughts are correct and I realize they are just my thoughts, but if this was one more jab at them just kind of being assholes to me, then not giving them the satisfaction of letting them know that it bothers me at all is the best possible thing that I could do.
Does that feel good?
Does it feel good to say,
I'm just not going to give you the satisfaction?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does feel good.
Then that's fine.
I mean,
Or you could just show up and say, you know, I'm pretty cool. Y'all missing out.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye. Well, and I kind of feel like that's the same thing. You know what okay. I mean? Like then them, like me just showing up and acting in a way that I can be proud mm-hmm. is showing them that like, you don't deserve my mm-hmm. emotions.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it boils down to. You get to decide where you mm-hmm. put your emotional energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. So now you've coached me on the whole gamut, Kat. Well, now we'll just have to do a coaching call on the new job.
In a couple of weeks, you'll be on telling me, I don't know why I took this job.
I don't know what I'm doing and I'm scared.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to get fired.
Yes, probably.
It's so funny. You know, every time I've started a new job, I've gone through that I'm going to get fired phase. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, it takes
Maybe
it's hard to go from being, you know, like an expert at what you do and some, you know, really comfortable with what you do to like, cause I'm completely changing.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, this isn't me going to the same role at a different place. This is like, I'm going to a completely new role in a new place. And you know, it's scary, but it's exciting.
All it is you get to practice a little discomfort.
Right.
And you get to decide how you're going to react to it. Are you going to react with worry and procrastination and stress? Or are you going to react with, I can figure this out. It's just going to take me a second.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's And I love knowing that, and because of like you guys and PMP and, you know, just the thought work, like I love knowing that I can walk into that job mm-hmm. and love it from day one. Like that is totally in my control. And I know I will.
Absolutely.
And it's so, I mean, it's pretty cool.
It's very empowering to know that you get to choose that. You come into camp?
No, probably not till October.
But you're coming to the race.
I'm not coming to the race either.
Coming to the race either?
No, I'm doing a half marathon the next week in Indianapolis. But October. Yeah, which actually ended up being good because I don't think I would have been able to get the time off starting the new job anyway.
True.
So it actually worked out perfect that was kind of what my plan was.
Okay.
So, but I'll miss you girls.
Well, we'll miss you too. Can't wait to hear about this job.
Oh, I know. I'm excited. All right. Well, thank you as always, Kathy.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. Who's next? Karen. All right. Did you find your join audio button? Bottom left. If you're on the computer, it's bottom left. Oh, did you say something? Nope, not yet.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
All right. Did I say it right, Karen?
Yes.
Yes. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I posted on a Facebook post. Oh, let me just back up. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm really excited to be on this call with you. I started listening to the podcast probably back in October or so. A friend of mine posted on her Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Something really brief. And I happened to meet Corinne the following month at an event that I was part of and joined the tribe in January.
Cool.
And started doing the work mm-hmm. and then stalled out. Well, I stopped doing the work and I posted on Sunday on a Facebook post about why am I not starting?
Mm-hmm.
And answered the questions about what it means to me. You had suggested that I come in for a coaching call. But the biggest stall for me is I'm not working through things. And so then I think I'm feeling squeezed because I'm not doing something healthy. And then I just go back to my old ways, which still don't get me where I need to be.
I don't understand squeezed because I'm not, say that again. Tell me what that means.
So I feel like I don't know how to deal with, you know, things in my life. And so that instead of figuring out maybe a positive way to either look at it or a positive way to respond to it, I'm just kind of like, I want to say like giving up or something, and just going like, I can't do anything about this, and just kind of going into myself. And
okay. Do you want to give me an example? Do you want to give me an example to coach you through?
Okay. So let's see. Sorry if I'm not
super. That's all right.
I just wanted to dive in and talk to you.
Okay. That's all right.
So let's see an example. Okay. So, an example would be, we have a temporary supervisor in my office.
Okay.
I work with a lot of accountants. He's very comfortable with accounting, but the supervisor things, I've observed him in situations, and I know that that's something he does not want to be a part of, even though that's part of his job. And so, there was a certain procedure that occurred that I was aware of, and I was told to implement it, which I did, by other people that no longer work there. And so he said that he was like, I'm doing an investigation in this, and he made it like super intense. And I think just like in the moment, I was like really afraid of the whole situation.
Why?
Because I thought it would impact me in a negative way. And I think even though I've worked there a long time, that I still have this fear that I'm going to be misrepresented or misunderstood and not know how to articulate things to defend my points, and that I'll be like driven out or something.
So fear of being misrepresented is interesting. Why do you have that? Why do you have that fear?
Oh my gosh. Because it's happened before. Even just stupid shit from my childhood, like I can just remember not being able to explain myself.
Okay. And then, so you get nervous.
Yeah.
When you're put in the hot seat, you get nervous. Why? I get
really nervous because, mm-hmm.
Could it be because you're uncomfortable with the spotlight?
I am very...
You're uncomfortable with being questioned?
I am not comfortable with that. I like to do my accounting.
So why is that? Why are you uncomfortable when people ask you questions? How's your self-confidence?
In some areas, it's really good. Mm-hmm. So just balance. But in other areas, not. Just my physical presence. Like I don't like to be seen, and
why?
You know, just
you don't being, like attention.
No, because I feel like it comes with criticism.
Oh, attention comes with criticism.
Yeah,
always.
I mean, not from people that care about me, or you know,
not even from people who don't care about you. Attention does not equal criticism.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
My head's kind of going,
your head's going, I'm not real sure about this. Because it's safe to stay in the shadows.
Right.
Okay, that's what you've decided.
Yeah.
That's your safe place. But putting yourself out there, creating a goal, taking a risk, doing something new, all comes with a little bit of the unknown.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Is that what scares you, the unknown?
I would say so. I mean, I remember Corinne talking about how it's rare that anybody uncovers something that they don't know about mm-hmm. when they're writing or when they're going through, like,
right.
learning the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just believe that, but I don't. Like, I'm totally afraid of what I'm going to like uncover or something with my writing. And
what if there's nothing there? What if there's no deep, dark secret in Karen's past that she's going to uncover? What you're really going to uncover is the negotiating thinking that's going on up here that says you should be careful. In fact, we shouldn't be uncomfortable at all. You know, so maybe we should just eat. Maybe we should just hide. Maybe we should just hang out and hope nobody notices us. You know, if you stretching yourself just a little bit. I bet you worried about whether or not to join the tribe, didn't you?
I actually was thinking that I didn't really do the free program very well. Mm-hmm. So maybe I shouldn't be allowed to join yet because I didn't do enough.
See?
But like just being around Corinne and somebody in our group went through the thought model.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through one for me and it was really helpful, but, and I was like, I'm going to work on this. And then like, I just didn't do any writing at all. Like, mm-hmm. And now I've allowed myself to write, like, it doesn't have to be on like a full piece of paper. It could be on post-it notes or little memo things.
That's a great way to start.
Yeah. Okay.
Get something. Why don't you start? Yeah. Maybe this is what you need to do. Maybe you just need to develop some comfort with the thought download. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just, you know, it's kind of like taking baby steps. You're not going to leap into the, you know, the realm of a thought ninja overnight. You're going to take these little baby steps into it, but you're going to need to keep taking baby steps forward. So what if you just did very simple thought downloads? Like, what am I feeling today? How do I want to show up today? Or identifying already how you're feeling, you know, maybe, one of my favorite things to do is, especially when I'm sad, I'll say, why am I sad today? Why am I happy today? What can I accomplish today? You know, I just ask myself a question and I write about it. Mm-hmm. And just writing for 3 or 4 minutes is not going to uncover some deep, dark secret that you're afraid is in there, because there's probably nothing. In fact, even if there is some deep, dark secret in there, it happened a long time ago and it doesn't matter today. Okay. So you're afraid of something that's probably not there. And even if it is, it doesn't matter, because what matters today is how you show up today.
Uh-huh.
What you accomplish today, what you do for yourself, what goals you have, whether or not you're true to your goals, whether or not you, you know, pat yourself on the back because you did a great job with your plan or your assessment. It's what matters. Mm-hmm. Everything is about today. You know, today's thoughts create today's results.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Okay.
Okay. So being afraid of what you might uncover, all it does is block you from doing good work on what you could learn about yourself today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't want to do that.
Why?
I mean, I don't want to block it. I mean,
you don't want to block it. Right. Right.
No, and you, yeah. The question you'd
because
ask,
that's the key.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like we just did a model with, was it Jessica? Overeating's the action line, right? The thought and the feeling is what gets to overeating. You figure out those thoughts and you work on those and you start answering them. And all of a sudden, you know, you start controlling your overeating and you lose weight. You know, the whole point of PMP is to figure out why we're overeating.
Right.
Right. We give you the tools and then we show you how to figure out how to implement them in a way that you stop your overeating.
Right. Okay. I know it'll work.
It will. It will. You just.
Well, it's just like. Hearing all of this, everything I've read has just hit me like nothing else. And I think all it needs is me doing some work now. That's the missing element.
That's exactly it. You know, all these basics are the action line. You do the actions, you're going to lose weight, right?
Right.
But it's those times where you stall, where you have little quits, where you stop doing the work, that you have to figure out why you stopped doing the work. What are you telling yourself that has stopped that work? And that's where the journaling comes in.
Okay. Okay. And
that
I
makes sense?
Yeah, it does, because I answered like what I have to it means I have to give up my secrets. I was saying it means I have to feel all the pain of neglect and abuse. And you were saying that but what if it meant if I could reconcile my past, was your feedback to me.
Yeah.
So I like I could write on maybe more on all of those elements and maybe think of what if it means something good too. Because I think in my head, I'm not getting it out. And so then it just kind of goes around and around and around. And it
creates a big mushroom cloud.
Yeah. Like I get under this fog and I'm just completely like lost.
That's exactly what it is. And you know, the neglect of your past is part of who you are today. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you think you're pretty awesome today, you show up, you go to work, you do your work, you do your things, you know, whatever. Yeah, you do a lot of things. You accomplish great work, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, what if all that stuff is just stuff that happened and that's it? What if it's not, what if it doesn't define who you are today? You know, what about that possibility?
Okay, that's really a wonderful possibility.
Yeah, because it, you know, you get to choose if it does.
Right.
What if you just choose it doesn't? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so amazing to me. You know, I'll say things like that and I'll think there's no way she's believing me. Right? Cause you're like, sure. But it really is that easy.
Right.
If you write down every day at the top of your 24-hour plan, my past does not define me, or I get to decide who I am today, or whatever your amazing power thought is, you just write that down every day and you begin to believe it. It's just like Corinne told a story not too long ago about she had set a goal, a monetary goal a few years ago to make whatever the money was. Okay. Let's say it was $1 million. Okay. She wrote down that goal every single day. She didn't know how she was going to get there. She didn't know how she was going to do it. But she wrote that down every single day. This year, I'm going to make whatever that monetary amount was. Mm-hmm. And at first she didn't believe it. She didn't know how she was going to get there. But by the end of the year, she was 100% sure because she had done it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just find that thing that you want to believe and you remind yourself, this is what I want to believe. And I'm going to figure out how to get there.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So going back to reconciling your past, what if you just said, I believe that I'm going to reconcile my past and be totally comfortable with who I am today? What if you just write that down every single day? Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't it feel like, you know?
Amazing.
Yes. Did you write it down?
I didn't because I wanted to hear every word you said. I've been taking
Okay, you can listen to the replay.
But yeah. Just
write that down every single day. That's your power thought. That's your compelling reason for showing up every single day.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yes, and then that absolutely would carry me through every day with that.
You know, honestly, it would carry all of us through every day. If we all said that to ourselves every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
okay.
We all have those things that went on that, you know,
yeah,
we beat ourselves up over or we don't like that happened or whatever. But, you know, we get to decide who we are today. We get to show up however we want to. Just like I was telling Jessica with her sister.
Yeah.
Decide the person you want to be and then just figure her out. That's the whole future self module. There you go. Boom. No BS, future self.
Okay.
Maybe you should go back and work that. That might be interesting. That might be good exercise for you.
Okay. I will definitely do that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
See you later. Bye. All right. Who is next? Anna, you're up. Okay, and Anna is the only one with her hand raised, and we'll have time for one or two others. So, guys, raise your hands if you want to get coached today. All right, I can't hear you yet, so look for that join audio. Probably if you're on a phone, maybe on the bottom left.
Okay.
You are. Yep.
It gave me a bunch of pop-ups that I don't remember seeing, so they must have changed their app.
Yeah, so, Zoom has changed some stuff up, and yeah, they have.
Not quite for the better yet, maybe. Anyways.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Be gone, Ed. Be gone, child. My kitchen table, cleaning, and I'm like, if they call me, you guys gotta leave. So they're not leaving. So I'm calling on the spur of the moment. I don't feel like I have ginormous angst, but I have this thing. I essentially have weighed about the same since the beginning of December. Okay. And like I focus hard and I'll get down and then I'll bump back up a few pounds and I'll, even though I still feel like I'm focusing hard, like more exceptions come in or a little bit more grab assing. And I've been thinking a lot about this. And one of the things I want to talk about today is I am anywhere from like 2 to 4 pounds away from losing 50 pounds.
Great. And
it's a big freaking deal.
Yes.
But it's now been 3.5 months of being that far away from kind of what is a goal. Like it's half what I want to lose, but, mm-hmm. but it's a goal. And so I've been, kind of focusing on my habits, kind of tracking different things. I do really well on water and sleep. And I do my plan every day. Mm-hmm. So I know where my areas are, and yet I feel like there's a mental block. So I started doing the, you know, write your goal kind of every day. I wasn't writing like lose 50 pounds though. I was writing like a further away goal, okay. intermediate goal, okay. weight that I wanted to achieve, but I'm kind of tired of swirling. Mm-hmm. And I know this is, I've probably coached on this 100 times, but I haven't found.
You haven't found the magic.
The magic thought or the magic.
Uh-huh. Well, the tell me that, why you're grab assing.
So, a lot of it is at home. A lot of it is if my husband's out traveling.
You're not grab assing because your husband is traveling.
I know, but it's my secret eater. It's
nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's
a thought.
It's a maybe
a little won't hurt. I'll try again tomorrow.
It's always a little won't hurt. Mm-hmm. One of the changes I did to combat that, which was a suggestion from somebody in my accountability group, was because I have a tracker and I'm like 100% on plan. And I just made it 8 or better out of 10 on plan, you know, so I don't do that. A little bit won't hurt. Well, guess what? I just ruined my plan. I'm just going to have a whole lot more. So I've been, you know, trying to reframe some things like that.
So a little bit does hurt.
So a little bit does hurt me because I very quickly turn that into, well, I already broke my plan. I might as well break it all the way, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've been working on that. And so where I'm at right now.
So what does that mean? I've been working on that. Because if that's a habit, if that comes up for you a lot, let's see what work you're doing and where we can up level that work.
So trying to pause.
Okay.
Right. I've been really focusing. I mean, where the little bits slip in is my family. Not really me, but truly my family will leave cereal or the bag of nuts or stuff on the counter. And before I know it, I grab some, shoved it in my mouth as I walk by. So I've been really working on is I don't have to grab any, I can just put it away.
Okay.
And that's my current focus.
So do you say that to yourself after you've grabbed and eaten or before?
I am, hello, sorry,
yeah, I'm here.
My battery is low. Well, both, depending if I actually ate any.
Okay.
Because I've been really, I'm like, I wanted, like, I feel like it's a thought. I feel like, I mean, it should just be losing another, like right now, 4 pounds. But it, to me, it feels like the last push up a mountain. And
that's the problem.
Yes.
That's the thought.
And I have another mountain
in front of me. This is so hard. It's like the last push up the mountain. So you're making it hard for yourself. That's, okay. I mean, I just went through the model like lightning speed. Your thought is, this is so hard. The feeling is? You don't believe in yourself? Disbelief?
A little bit. I've never lost 50 pounds disbelief. Before.
That doesn't matter. That does not matter to the, this is so hard, I'll never get this done, you know, thought. Uh-huh. The drama thought. Okay?
Okay.
That turns into disbelief, which turns into, yeah. I'm just going to eat anyway.
Just a little here and a little there.
Grab ass, overeat, secret eat, whatever, you know, put anything you want in that action line.
Right.
And the result is it really is hard because you've stalled your weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not hard. Stop telling yourself it's hard. It's not.
It's not the push up the mountain.
No, it's not. When you catch yourself grab assing, you put it away. When you have the urge because it's on the counter, you put it away. You make a plan that's realistic. You use your hunger scale. You go back to the basics, the same way you lost the first 48.
Yeah. Pounds.
Just stop telling yourself it's hard. If it was hard, you would have lost 48 pounds already. Right. Freezing up on me.
And I discount a little bit my weight loss because it's take for years. Let me try another. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're going in and out.
Can I have the bedroom? Yeah. Can you hear? Okay. I'm moving locations because I fear it's my battery, so let me charge. So, and that's maybe part of it too. Like, I don't know if you heard me, but it's taking
I heard
me
you say you discount your weight far. Loss. Yeah.
So I do because it's taken me 3 years and I'm not even halfway there. And I don't know, that just is to me the evidence of it's so hard.
Okay. I bet there's, I don't know, probably 34 people on this call that would be okay with a 48 pound loss, no matter how long it took.
And I'm okay with it too.
No, you're not. You're telling yourself it's too hard.
I'm not okay with it. It's taken so long.
It's taken so long. Maybe it's taken so long because you're grab-assing and because you're telling yourself it's hard. No, I may have lost you.
So I hear kind of two things. Maybe you say it's so hard.
I'm having trouble hearing.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm sorry. I never have internet problems, but okay. So I got to stop the grab assing and I need to change my thought from it's taking so long and it's hard to it takes the time it takes and it's one good decision after another.
Yeah.
I can make a good decision.
Yeah, you need the same exercise I gave earlier in the call where you write down those thoughts, the ones that, you know, it's taking too long and it's so hard, and you write down answering thoughts and you practice them. Whenever you see that thought come in, you answer it with the other one. It's not hard.
Should that be written?
How many times have you heard Corinne say, it's not hard? Stop telling yourself it's hard. Just say that to yourself. When you hear, oh, it's so hard. No, it's not. Thank you.
All I have to do is not eat these nuts.
Right. That's not hard. Thank you for your input. I hear you. But we're not going there today.
Or like, what's the one? That sometimes things we think.
That, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want you to hit that 50-pound goal, and you can do that.
It's so close.
It's so close. It's exciting to think about how close it is.
And I've been excited. And then it just, I got within actually like a pound and I was like next week. And then I don't know. It just was.
Because it's hard. Because it's so hard. It's like climbing a mountain.
Yeah. It's not, it's the next good choice.
Mm-hmm. That's all okay. It is. And you
work on that.
Yeah, you have all the power. Because nobody holds you down and crams food in your mouth.
No.
You have all the power.
And it's not even hard if my husband's gone or we're snowed in.
Nope.
Okay. That's just something
Yeah, that's just something I think. That's just something my brain tells me. You know, it would be interesting to write down how many times a day you say the word hard.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would bring some good awareness to what you're telling yourself. All right.
You know, and part of why I was calling is like, I've had 2 weeks of losses and we're going on a vacation next week. And I'm like, that's even harder, you know, and I know that's my thought. Mm-hmm. That's where it's like, I'm going to raise my hand.
You know what? It also justifies overeating.
Yeah.
And you don't need an excuse to overeat. You don't need to allow that. Go back and listen to, in the Taking Control module, there's a lesson called Justifications. Go back and listen to that.
All the time.
Huh?
I listen to that frequently.
Okay. So you know.
It's me. Like, I know. Yes.
Yeah. You know that telling yourself this is like climbing a mountain is a justification.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have fun on vacation. Take your hunger scale with you.
Yes. That's what I'm excited to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Melissa, it's your turn. Are you there? Melissa, I don't have sound or video on you. So I'm not sure where you are. Let's see. In the Q&A, while we're trying to hook up here with Melissa, the Q&A, Rebecca can hear. Good. Kathy, I love your jacket. Where did you get it? White House Black Market. I love this jacket too. It's fun. And it's kind of lightweight. And it's almost green. And if you know me, you know I'm a little Irish. And tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. So I tried to find something that was almost green. And I have on my, you probably can't see them, my Clada hand earrings that my dad got me from Ireland. So, Melissa, I'm going to take you back down to an attendee. Raise your hand again, and let's see if we can get you back. I'm not sure what happened. No, Melissa is not here. Does anybody else want to be coached? Nobody else has their hand raised. Anybody else? Trish. All right. Let's see what you got. There you are. Did you find the join audio button?
Okay.
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. I wasn't going to do this.
Oh, but you're
but
here.
I figured since Melissa didn't show up, and if you said anybody raise their hand, then I'll be like, all right, that's a sign.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to Melissa. That was weird. So what's up?
Well, this week, I'm going to cry.
I haven't even started yet.
Wednesday was the first anniversary of my sister's death. And I've just been having a very hard time this week.
Well, I'm your girl. Because, you know, I mentioned my dad and the Cladahans.
Mm-hmm.
He's been gone for about 2 years, and I was very close to him. And every time the anniversary of his death comes around, I tell myself something very poignant, and that two things actually. The first is, you don't have to miss her more on Wednesday this week than you do any other day. It's just another day.
I know.
The anniversary, well, look at me, I'm tearing up too. Here's my empathy bone, right? The anniversary of her death is just another day. You can miss her every single day just as much. Okay? The other thing is, the reason you have such sadness is because you loved her so much. You know, you wouldn't be on this call right now talking to me if you didn't have such love for her. And that's a beautiful thing. Okay? So with great love can come great sadness.
Yep.
And that's okay. That's okay. You're honoring her by loving her.
But now, the issue I had beyond mm-hmm. all that.
Okay.
I tend to shut down when I'm emotional mm-hmm. and not share. So this is very hard for me right now.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go to work all this week. But P&P was like a life jacket or whatever, because every day I made my plan, even though I totally ignored it and consciously ignored it and knew every time I ate something, it was like, this isn't on my plan, but I don't give a shit. I'm going to eat it anyway. And every night I would assess my plan mm-hmm. and tell myself I didn't do it right. I overate. I journaled God knows how many pages, but I still wouldn't follow the plan. And I'm still just saying, fuck it. And, mm-hmm. but every day I would tell myself, you have to do your plan mm-hmm. because sooner or later you're going to get past this and you have to still hang on to that life raft. Mm-hmm. You still got to do this because you're going to get out of this hole. And so you got to keep doing it. So every day I made my plan, every day I assessed my plan, even though I just blew it all to hell. Mm-hmm. But so on Wednesday, I called my mom, and that was a very hard call. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I knew that on Thursday, I'm going to be okay because I got past the day. Mm-hmm. So on Thursday, I had made my plan. I stuck my plan. I assessed my plan. I did everything right on Thursday. I did everything right yesterday. I'm doing everything right today. Mm-hmm. So I'm back on the process. It's the emotion that I have a hard time with. I am good with the organization and the plans and the scheduling and the food prep and all that crap. I'm perfect with that stuff. Uh-huh. But when I get a big emotional thing, uh-huh. I just crawl in the corner and roll up in a ball and shut out the world.
So what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to feel these things?
I think because once I start feeling, I'll never stop feeling.
But you will.
I know that intellectually, but mm-hmm.
no,
emotionally, it's like,
okay, that's the truth. So let me, how many times have you cried this week? Just estimate.
8.
Okay.
Maybe.
So if you started crying 8 times, you stopped crying 8 times.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Because that's how emotions work. And this is the God's truth. An emotion comes on you like a wave. Picture the beach. It crashes in. It sits for a minute. And then it eases back out. And if you think about those times this week, those 8 or so times that you cried, it was like a wave that came in of sadness. It crashed in. You cried. Mm-hmm. And then it eased back out and you stopped crying. That's what emotions do. That's what all emotions do. happiness, sadness, whatever. If you can sit and feel that emotion in your body, you can feel it ease back out. It takes focus and intention, but that's exactly what happens. And it's a beautiful thing to do with grief. Mm-hmm. I did it, the first time I ever did this was when I was grieving my dad. And it took me like 2 months to decide I would try it. And I went, I went in my dining room because I knew my husband wouldn't come in the dining room. And I sat there and I let myself think about how sad I was that he was gone. And I cried. And in about 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, I felt it start to ease back out. I stopped crying. I felt the lighter in my body. I just felt it just go away, kind of like a wave recedes back into the ocean. It's exactly what your feelings do. For some reason, we think if I allow that intensity and that feeling, it won't go away, but it will. All right. So when we get off this call, I want you to try that. And it takes, seriously, y'all, it takes about at most 3 or 4 minutes. But once you show yourself, your mind and your body, that you can survive that emotion, the next time it comes over you, it's a little bit easier. And it's a little bit easier and it's a little bit easier. I can talk to you right now about my sadness, about my dad, because I have done this so much that I know that I can survive a tear or a little bit of an emotion because I also love him at the same time. Okay. So what happens when, you know, we can connect this to overeating because what we do a lot of times, instead of feeling our emotions, we go in and we have a snack.
Right.
Or
to avoid all the feeling. Right. I know exactly that's what I was doing.
We distract ourselves. We could watch TV. We could.
I did that too.
Whatever it is to avoid feeling. And none of that helps us deal with the feeling and show ourselves that we can feel those feelings without, you know, getting eaten by a tiger. Or
right. And I think I'd like to avoid everything because I don't want anybody to ask me how I'm feeling because then I feel like I'm just going to lose it and I won't be able to control the emotion. So I don't want anybody to ask me. I'm like, just leave me alone. Don't ask me. I'll give me a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But
that's because you're afraid of feeling. What's wrong with crying in front of someone?
Nothing, really.
What's wrong with saying, you know, I'm sad today. I miss my sister.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all.
But I don't know if it's
your,
you know, back when you're a child and your parent says, stop your crying or I'll give you something to cry about. And so you,
yeah,
back
we all
then you start suffering, you know, suppressing all your feelings. And
you don't have to do that today.
Nope.
You just don't have to. You can love her and be sad about her at the same time. You can cry every single day if you want to. Wednesday this week was not a special day. It was just another day. You didn't love her or miss her any more that day than you did any other day. You just chose to give it a little bit more emotional energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Because Thursday I was like on the other side of it. And
it's probably because you allowed yourself to feel on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But so, and it's just these big emotional things that really derail me. I don't usually have like small emotional overeats or anything.
Why? You know why?
Why?
Ooh, we got some kind of weird feedback. Because you suppress them. They become big because you suppress them.
That's probably true.
No, that is true. Yeah. I promise.
Okay. So I should just quit.
If you allow yourself to feel, it's very manageable. We do an exercise at camp where we talk about what we're feeling in the moment, you know, at very first part of camp. And then we work on creating emotions. An emotion is how you feel in your body. That's all it is. It's a physical reaction to a thought. And if your thought is, I miss my sister, and your emotion is sad, you know, think about how that feels in your body. You cry, your throat probably gets tight, your heart races, your stomach hurts, right? All those things, it's just a physical reaction to your thought. And they come in like a wave, and then they ease. You stop crying, your stomach starts to feel better, your heart calms down, your head doesn't hurt. You know, all those things just pass right on through.
Yep.
They do. And then they come back, and then they pass through, and then they come back, and then they pass through. And the more you honor them and feel them, the easier they are to tolerate.
Okay.
It's okay to miss your sister.
Yep.
It's okay to miss my dad.
Yep. Okay.
Does that help?
It does help. I think just talking and crying right now helped just get the last bit out. So
it doesn't have to go. It doesn't have to go away. It doesn't have to get all the way out.
Okay.
Right?
That's true.
Because then you go back to suppressing again.
Right. You're right.
Right? So just miss her and be okay with that. You wouldn't miss her so much if you didn't love her.
That's true.
So you're doing both and you're honoring her.
Yep.
By working through it.
Yep.
She must have been a pretty special lady for you to have so much emotion about her. That's pretty cool.
The picture behind you reminds me of her because she does a lot of that kind of painting too. And I have pictures that she painted all over my house. So that just, I got reminders of her everywhere. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, it is. Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. You take care.
Thanks, Kathy.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. There's one more thing in the Q&A we'll hit real quick. I don't have a question but a comment, Kathy. Thank you for your coaching. I related to every caller, but this call with Trish, her grief and your coaching is so helpful to me. I appreciate you. You are very welcome, Tommy Jane. Thank you for saying so. I hope you guys have a great Saturday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I will see you guys. I think I'm back on Tuesday night. So I'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.